Black women have been a part of the natural healing for a very long time. We have to learn about African spirituality, not assume. We have to discover something new about ourselves and about our ancestry. We have to recognize that natural medicine and things that we do not know does not make it evil. It makes us ignorant that we do not know this. We must learn to decolonize our minds and decolonize our bodies and decolonize our spirits in order to decolonize our spirituality. Because Blackness has been demonized in every single way. Yet it has been spirit, it has been faith that have kept Black people and brown people going. Do you often feel your intuition is trying to tell you something? Most likely it is. Welcome to I'm Not Crazy, I'm Clairvoyant, the only podcast that teaches decolonizing spirituality and tarot, demystifying Black girl magic, and normalizing intuitive giftedness to empower your intuition as a superpower. Now here's your host, Tanya Melendez, the original tarot life coach, co-creator of the Intuitive Sorceress program, and hostess of Royal Reset Retreats, and voted number 3 psychic medium in the world. Welcome back to another episode of I'm Not Crazy, I'm Clairvoyant. I'm your host, Tanya Melendez. Today I'm going to be sharing with you the idea of breaking down the stereotypes and stigmas that go along with decolonizing spirituality. So in today's episode, this idea of decolonizing spirituality, I'll be sharing with you some of these stereotypes and stigmas, as well as the journey throughout history where this all came about, as well as some historical stories of women who have indeed been a part of the fabric of the spirituality. I'll also be sharing with you how to decolonize our minds and why this is so important. So let's dive in. Right now, in this day and age, spirituality is not only a trending topic, it is a billion-dollar business. On social media, people are doing readings, sharing crystals, and all different types of healing methodologies, as well as experiences all through social media. Tarot and crystals and oracle cards and all these different types of events that have created this billion-dollar business. And not only that, it has created and turned people who I call spiritual hustlers into millionaires and beyond. One story in particular is the story of a now, I don't want to say her name without bringing, some context. And I really don't want to share her names. What I will do is share the story. So there was a woman who was very famous for speaking to the angels. She certified people in angel medicine. She made millions of dollars talking about angels, talking about tarot, talking about all of these things, and ascended masters and all these type of things. And then she shifted into a more Christian based and she denounced all of it. She denounced tarot and crystals and oracle cards and fairies, the very thing she had built her million-dollar business on. She denounced it and turned to the Christian church. Now, she didn't return the money, but she then denounced it, and I'm not sure if her decks are still being produced, and I haven't heard any news about her since then, but she was able to walk away from that as a millionaire, and now I'm sure she's in the arena of the Christian church. That has not been the same case for Black and brown women. In fact, where are the Black and brown women in this billion-dollar business? Tarot cards alone from the years of 2017 to the year of 2022 have increased over 100%, yet only 10% are produced by people of color at a mass level. Sure, many people are producing their own decks, but where are they in the mainstream? More and more of us are looking for these types of tools and spiritual, you know, technology, I call it, to have in our own personal toolkits. But where are they? When in truth, the very spiritual practices, everything from rituals and practices and all of that are really appropriated from Black and Brown cultures throughout the world. Yoga is one of the biggest ones. We know yoga is a sacred energy that comes from India. And we also have a sacred Kemet yoga that, you know, you can see the poses are done even in the hieroglyphics, right? And so we can say Egypt, aka Africa, and India have this connection with the spiritual connection with yoga. India is one of the poorest countries on the planet. They're not benefiting from all of the Lululemon, you know, $100 pants, but Lululemon is benefiting off of yoga. And so, again, this isn't to make anyone wrong or to create a sense of judgment or negativity. These are the facts. These are what is true. And so let's go back a little bit. Let's take a step back, because from the beginning, especially within the United States, some of the original witch doctors out in the swamps and fortune tellers and healers and doulas were the very enslaved women that saved many a life. And so if we look from roots to wings, truly fortune telling in all of these different aspects, and I don't want to just focus on fortune telling, but I do want to say, you know, the intuitive side, this, you know, you can meet her in the back room kind of energy has followed the people of color. And so when I talk about roots and wings, what I'm talking about is roots, ancestral, and the wings, because now they're also ancestral, right? But if we look at something like creating a ritual, if we look at something like using candles, calling certain angels, doing these things, we look back at the history, especially in places like New Orleans and think and more in the South, we have historical record of these type of tent revivals, these type of places where Black and Brown people would gather for their healing and their spiritual growth and expansion. Nowhere in the United States, it wasn't until, you know, then they started learning the herbs and things from their slaves. And so appropriation was also a part of people being enslaved. You know, one of the laws in New Orleans is Black people weren't able to gather together, Black and Brown people. Why? Because they did not want them doing rituals and practices. Because in fact, especially in the city of New Orleans, they were highly afraid of the power that came from these medicine women, witch doctors, and what they called as fortune tellers. And so these stereotypes and stigmas have continued throughout time, and our ancestral roots have been dissected and broken down. And this is why it's so important that we decolonize spirituality, because the basis of most of our ancestral tribes and lineage all come from this type of spirituality. This type of spirituality, of course, was also in Europe. They had their own, but the oldest come from Africa. And how we know this to be true, beloveds, is look at what's in the British Museum. Look at what's throughout Europe. Look at what's in Vatican City. All of these stolen artifacts are now on display, and many of them are sacred objects, sacred tools. And so if we do not know how powerful our energy, how powerful our spiritual practices and cultural spirituality was, take a look at the museums. Take a look at the museum, see what's in there. I know the British Museum has some artifacts that are sacred spiritual tools. I had a very dear friend of mine who passed away recently who actually worked in the British Museum. And so this is how I know that these things are absolutely true. If these spiritual things were not of so much value, why are they now in a museum? And I'll go further, because the stigma of blackness has locked people out. Anything black is seen as dark, is seen as negative, is seen as the devil. And the psychological impact, as well as the imprint that that has put out in the world, has locked out black women from all things spiritual. As a black woman, I remember when I saw the movie, The Serpent and the Rainbow, I was terrified of African spirituality after that, the voodoo and all of that. I really believed that some of the things that I had been taught and conditioned to believe about the spiritual practices that are native to my lineage were evil. Are you a woman who feels like she's missing a part of herself? Now more than ever, the intuitive self is calling out the imposter for more aligned action and crystallized vision. The divine feminine power of intuition needs care just like the body. And like the moon, it is self-generating and renewing. And it's time for you to plan and prosper, to empower your next steps, harnessing your intuition to pave the way. Discover a whole new you. Our mission is to empower the intuition of 1 million women, especially women of color. Why? Because the future is female. And because an intuitive woman is a dangerously powerful woman. If you're interested and ready for intuitive executive coaching, book a discovery call for ways to work with me. The links are in the show notes. And know, beloved, you're not crazy, you're clairvoyant. I also can reflect back to watching the movie Roots when I was 7 years old. I mean, it was all over the place. I remember it was on the cover of the TV Guide, and my mother loved getting the TV Guide every Sunday because it would tell us, it would have articles. It was like a magazine. So it was like the first magazine I ever read, but I digress. But I remember the cover because she saved it. She saved this cover of Roots. And the most poignant scene that I remember, and if you've never seen this movie, Roots, it is about enslaved people's experience as slaves in the United States and how that had an impact not only on their lives and on their families and throughout. There is several movie spinoffs, and it was written by beloved author Alex Haley. So if you don't know what it is, please Google it and you will find out. And so one of the images, the impact and the imprint that was left on me was the story, who is played by LeVar Burton, who was one of his main characters, which is how he was able to rise to fame. So if you know who LeVar Burton is, he started in Roots as a young man. So he must have been a teenager, I guess, or so when I saw, oh, I was a little girl. Anyway, there was this scene where he was being beaten. He was hung up by his arms from a tree and he was being whipped. And it was because he refused to say the name that they had given him. And they would whip him. They would say, what is your name? And he would say, Kunta Kinte. And they would say, no, your name is Toby. And so with each lash and with each whip, and he would continue, I am Kunta Kinte, I am Kunta Kinte. But once the pain was too strong, he could not take it anymore. He finally broke and said, my name is Toby. And that was not until he said and took that name that was given to him by his slave masters that they stopped whipping him. Now, the reason I'm sharing this story is because that psychological impact and imprint left on me that I had to assimilate. I had to become the box that I had been put in, right? I saw that as a little girl, as I cannot step beyond that realm. Otherwise, I could be beaten. I could be whipped like Toby. So I had to assimilate. And so I took you back there so I could take you even further back to an enslaved woman named Tituba from Barbados. And the story with Tituba is one of the most fascinating stories there are. And most people do not know this about Tituba. And I'll share a few more historical insights with you as well. So Tituba, an enslaved woman from Barbados, was actually the catalyst in the Salem witch trials. So let me break this down for you. In 1692, she was a natural healing medicine woman, as I've shared, and she was doing her medicine and helping the other enslaved people through healings and doing different types of, you know, root work and prayer and all types of things. And so she got quite a reputation. She had quite a reputation as a healer. And there was two sisters who had been ill, or there was one sister who had been ill, and they had heard of her healing abilities. And so they wanted to learn if she could help them. So Tituba began administrating and doing her healing work on some white women. And somehow this news got out that she was doing this natural medicine and that these women, by going to her, were in fact doing witchcraft. And so these two women were some of the first women to actually be burned at the stake, because at that time, anything against the church was considered, you know, heresy. And so their natural medicine, her natural tinctures and things, were considered witchcraft. And so that began the Salem witch trials. The most interesting fact is Tituba was in jail. So as they went around the country, went around Europe, went around the eastern United States, capturing and killing women for practicing witchcraft, which was actually honoring the moon, connecting to the divine feminine. This is why covens were so popular. And then they became a place of terror because in the man-made Christianity, they went against the church. And so many women were killed. In fact, thousands were killed. However, Tituba actually went to trial. She went to trial and was found guilty. And while she was awaiting her sentencing, because they did not burn her because she was a slave, they kept her in jail. And the story is that while she was awaiting her sentencing, she vanished. So into thin air and through jail walls, Tituba left. No one ever saw or heard from her again, although she is one of the most famous women. The story of the Scarlet Letter is also based on the story of Tituba. And so if you do your research, you will discover that indeed Black women have been a part of the natural healing, what is now called witchcraft in the United States, for a very long time. Which leads me next to these are all women are my spiritual guides who I call on often. And this one is Harriet Tubman. And Harriet Tubman, you know, most people know her as the leader of the Underground Railroad. Most people know her as Moses. And there are stories about her freeing hundreds of enslaved people. But what most people don't know is Harriet Tubman was a clairvoyant. She was a spiritual medium. And in fact, she would fall into fits of narcolepsy, which they do show in the movie. If you watch the latest film about Harriet, she falls into what they called a fit. And in these fits, she was connecting to the higher source, which then became her guide and almost map, leading her over 107 times to freedom. She freed over 250 enslaved people truly by being guided solely by her intuition. There was a bounty for her. They called her Moses. They hunted her down, and yet and still every single time, over 107 times, and she died, not as a slave, an enslaved woman, but as a free woman in her own mind. And she became the hero, the shero that we now all know. Another beloved story that most people don't realize was also a highly intuned spirit medium is Sojourner Truth. And Sojourner Truth, born in Holland to enslaved parents, only spoke Dutch. And when she first came to the United States, she was beaten because she didn't speak English. She only spoke Dutch. But by the time that she left this earth, she not only spoke English fluently, but she had the gumption and the grit to pen one of the most famous suffragist stories and abolitionist stories, Ain't I a Woman? From a woman who could not read and write, and now the narrative of Sojourner Truth is one of the most powerful and impactful books that I have ever read. But the real story is under her story of her bravery and her courage, because as I shared, Sojourner Truth was indeed a spirit medium. She became highly connected to the Kellogg family. Yes, that Kellogg family from Battle Creek, Michigan, who owned General Mills, catalogs, and all those things. She had been a part of the spiritualist church, and during that time, her gifts as a spirit medium came through. And so she would not only give sermons, she would do healings, and she became the spiritual advisor to the Kellogg family up until her very death, which is why she is buried in the Kellogg family crypt in Battle Creek, Michigan. So this enslaved little girl came all the way from Holland, had to learn English, connected to her higher spiritual self after she learned English as an enslaved child, to become an abolitionist and a woman in the suffrage movement, to pen or speak the Ain't I a Woman speech, and to be buried then in the Kellogg family crypt. It always makes me wonder how much of their success came from her spiritual advice. And then last but not least, I could not leave this historical journey of spiritual and psychic Black women without mentioning the beloved Madame Marie Laveau, one of the most powerful psychic mediums, spiritualists, clairvoyants, hoodoo, voodoo women of my lifetime that I know of, Marie Laveau. The fear of her power gripped New Orleans. She was so feared by politicians and the police that they were constantly watching her. In fact, they became her friends and paid her to keep her from working against them. Hundreds of enslaved people owe their lives to the generosity, the courage, and the gifts of Marie Laveau that still leave an imprint today. And so I have studied her. I've gone to New Orleans. I've gone to her crypt as well. And in all of that, I have learned the truth that hoodoo, voodoo, all things Black are not in fact evil. It is natural. And it is the African spiritual way and traditions. And this is why we must learn to decolonize our minds and decolonize our bodies and decolonize our spirits in order to decolonize our spirituality. Because Blackness has been demonized in every single way. Yet it has been spirit, it has been faith that have kept Black people and brown people going. And so when we think about the how do we decolonize our mind? How do we decolonize our body and spirit? We have to learn about African spirituality, not assume. We have to discover something new about ourselves and about our ancestry. We have to recognize that natural medicine and things that we do not know does not make it evil. It makes us ignorant that we do not know this. And if it is something that we want to discover, then we need to take out any judgment out of it and recognize that we don't know what we do not know. And if we want to know, then we must be intentional about learning. If we want to decolonize our bodies, we have to get to know our bodies. We have to free ourselves from distractions and foods and things that cause our bodies harm. We have to come back into our most natural state in order to heal our nervous systems. And we do that by listening, our intuitive self, and how we decolonize our spirit. We connect to our ancestors. We do the pouring of the libations. And again, we discover, we go on a journey of connecting to who our ancestors are, whether they be our family lineage, friends, people we looked up to, spirit guides, but we connect to a higher source, roots and wings, as I call it. And lastly, we become present. We cultivate a spiritual life in the right now that empowers us, that inspires us and supports us. We read, we travel, we connect to community, and we get support. We get support. We get spiritual support for ourselves so we can be in our highest and best. We don't leave it up to for just books and just travel. We learn where we need to heal in our minds, in our bodies, in our spirits, because we cannot do this alone. We do need community, and we do need coaching. We need counseling. We need healing, because it takes more than us to break down the stereotypes and stigmas, because if we could do it, we would have already done it. And so I invite each and every person to ask themselves, where do you need to decolonize your spiritual practices? Where do you need to decolonize your mind, your body, and your spirit? There is so much power in our awakening. There is so much power in us when we allow ourselves to be in our natural state. There is so much power within us when we allow ourselves to truly tune in and turn on. So thank you again for your time, for your attention. And I hope I have stirred something within you today. And remember, you're not crazy, you're clairvoyant.
Did this podcast impact you or touch a heartstring, beloved? Our mission on I'm Not Crazy, I'm Clairvoyant is to decolonize spirituality and tarot so we can lean into our mystic self as powerful women, especially Black and brown women of color. You can help us spread this into the world by leaving a rating and review on iTunes so we can really amplify this mission. Stay in touch with me and follow me on IG, the Black Psychic Librarian, as I love to learn more about you and your spiritual journey. And remember, beloved, you're not crazy, you're clairvoyant. And trust, your intuition is trying to tell you something.